No? How good is your concentration?
You have to stay concentrated enough.
Yeah, I mean, when you develop a program, you know, you have to have some concentration. Your mind cannot be all over the place. Now try to, you know, either use, you know, the tip, around the tip of the nose, wherever you feel the breath is strongest, and then don't follow the breath, yeah? Just stay, observe, how is the breath? We need to learn how to observe, huh? Mm-hmm. And that is difficult, huh? We want to change, yeah? We want to get calm, calm, calm. I want to get calm, 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 yeah? That's expectation. That doesn't get us calm, yeah? Just makes us more nervous, yeah? Just observe what is going on, yeah? You can't change what is going on. This is a lesson that we really have to learn. We cannot change the things that we observe, yeah? That's why they send the people, you know, to watch the chickens there. You know, observe them, you know, and then you see how to observe the breath, yeah? Very Veronica, understand? Just observe. Know the breath is fast, know the breath is slow, know the breath is deep, know the breath is shallow. Or use the breath with the Buddha, with breathing in and do with breathing out. You know, or if you use the Buddha, you know, just do the same thing. Observe the Buddha, yeah? Is the Buddha there? Yeah, the first thing, is the Buddha there? No? Okay, bring it back. Yeah? When you bring it back, is it fast? Is it slow? Is it deep? Is it shallow? Yeah? This is the most important thing about our practice. Yeah? Not just Buddha, 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 Buddha. Oh, yeah, I mean, looking around, you know, wherever we go. Yeah? That's not practice. Yeah? Yeah, Veronica. Yeah? You need to put a little bit more effort. Yeah? So, it is important, you know, I mean, samadhi is one thing, yeah? Concentration is another. Concentration is the samadhi, you know, and sati is this awareness of what is the object that we observe, yeah? I mean, when you sit, I mean, Steve, you remember the times when we sit at a street coffee, yeah, and just observe the people? Yeah. We couldn't change them how they walked, you know, we couldn't change them how they interact, we just observed them. Yeah? Well, most of the time, you know, we had our thoughts about it. And this time we don't have thoughts about it. Yeah? We just know how the breath is, yeah? We just know how the Buddha is. Wherever we put our mind on, you know, if you don't let go of it, you know, we will make it, yeah? Sooner or later. I mean, you learn to walk, huh? Yeah? And what was the beginning of walking, you know, getting up, falling over, getting up, falling over, getting up, falling over? Did you give up? No. Yeah? But with practice, it's so difficult. We easily give up, huh? No? No? Okay. No, we don't give up. Learn to, yeah. I mean, the first 15 years, you know, I mean, remember, you're 30 or what?
32.
Yeah. So you remember, yeah, normally we don't, we don't want to remember, yeah. We don't want to remember the first 5 years of our life where we learn to walk, where we learn to talk. The same thing, yeah. And then we learn to write, then we learn to read, yeah. And then we learn to think. Yeah? 15 years you train this body. Huh? You want to go back? Nobody wants to go back, but everybody, you know, doesn't care about next life, yeah? Next life, yeah? Our next life starts with the age of 20 as a human, yeah? We don't want the first part. And we don't want the last part as well. We don't want over 40, yeah? Or over 50, we don't want it, yeah? She's just in the middle. We only want the best part of the cake, yeah? Or the best part of the bread, but you don't have this the German bread in America. We only want the soft part of the bread. We don't want the hard crust, yeah? But actually in German we like the hard crust. But with your soft bread in America, I mean, there's no crust at all. Only if you toast it. That's probably why you toast all the bread, or Because there's no hard crust. No, Germany. Germany has, it's very famous for its bread, yeah? I mean, 150 different kinds of bread. There's black bread, there's, you know, there's white bread, there's, you know, gray bread, and so on, yeah? All sorts of different rye bread, you know, yeast bread, and so on.
My mother used to make her own bread, and we always fought over the heel.
Yeah.
Like over the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Very
oh.
The heel. That hot.
That was nice, yeah. Put a little butter on it, and then, you know, you didn't need anything else. Yeah? What is she? Huh? Yeah? She likes it as well, huh? You like German bread?
Yeah.
So anyway, where was I? Windy, where was I? Huh? How did I digress? How did I digress? Somebody helps me.
that's the mind when you start getting
old. Yeah, yeah,
pressure.
Yes.
You just want to come back in the middle. You want to come back at 20, and then you want.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. We only like the good part of our life, yeah? We don't like the start of our life, we don't like the end of our life, yeah? We don't like people see dying, yeah? When they die, when they're in agony, we don't like to see that, yeah? We only like the healthy way. I mean, that's actually what the king did with the Siddhartha, yeah? With the prince. He kept everything. Old age, he kept away. Sickness, he kept away from him. Yeah, young, young was okay. Yeah, so that he didn't see, you know, the suffering or the pain, you know, the agony of the normal people. But the Lord Buddha was, or Siddhartha at that time, you know, the Prince Siddhartha was curious. You know, what is outside of this wall? Yeah, it was, you know, so it was a very nice, you know. Let's say place of Eden, you know, but outside of the world, what is there? Yeah. So he went out, you know, the first time he went out, well, what did he see? I think a sick man, you know, in agony. Yeah. He said, everybody gets sick, you know, he asked his driver. Yes, everybody gets sick. Oh. So the next time he went out, you know, he saw a man dying. Yeah? Then he asked the driver, does everybody die? Yeah. Whoa, I don't want to die. He saw the agony and the suffering, yeah, of the people. Yeah? And then he saw people of old age, he never seen them. Yeah, and he said, oh, what is that? You know, does everybody get old? But that wasn't enough, you know. I mean, you just wondered, oh, I'm getting old, I'm getting sick, I'm going to die. You know, is there something else? Yeah? And the fourth time he went out, he saw a samana. A recluse, yeah? And then he thought, yeah, I mean, he's living completely different than everybody else. Yeah? Well, what is he looking for? Yeah? And then he got interested. Hmm? And then, you know, a few days later, I don't know, it doesn't really say, he went out, you know, cut off his hair and went out as a samana to search for the truth. So, I mean, if he didn't see the samana, he wouldn't have, you know, thought of a way out, because his society didn't show us the way out. And does our society in the West show us the way out? Do you see the monks, you know, on Pindapat every morning? Yeah? Yeah? Or do you see the recluses, you know, hanging around in the cities or in the villages? In Thailand you see it every morning. Yeah. It's always a reminder. Huh? There's another way of life. Yeah? And why do they choose this kind of life? Because they see the agony, they see the suffering, they see the pain, you know, that is with our common life. Yeah? They see old age, they see death, you know. I mean, nobody wants to die. You know, if you see a person dying or a dead person, you don't feel comfortable. Because it always reminds us of our own nature. Yeah? Sooner or later, we will have to die. Huh? And so we don't want to see it. Huh? That's why we bury them fast under the earth. And then, you know, the grave is nice, you know, put some flowers on it, you know, and then pay our respects to it, yeah. Because then they are gone. They are out of our way, yeah. And in the West, you know, we especially do that, you know. I mean, the sick people we lock up, you know, in the hospital. Yeah? You don't see the sick people running on the street. Yeah? The old people you lock up in the, yeah? In the house of the elderly. Yeah? So we see mostly young people running around, yeah? No sick people, no old people, yeah? No dead people, hardly any dead people, because they're kept in the hospital and then, you know, just transported out. Yeah? So we don't know anything about life. We only see, you know, the middle part of the bread, yeah? Or the crust or the end, you know, however we like it. Yeah? We only see the good part, yeah? We don't see, you know, everything. And what we especially don't see in the West is there's another form of life. There's another way, you know, that you can live your life. And that is the most important thing. Yeah? Wherever there is a religion, you know, and it didn't used to be like that. Eh? I mean, there used to be in Europe, or especially in Germany, there used to be monks, you know, I mean, going on Pindapat, on alms route, you know, the Franciscana, yeah? Franciscans, yeah? They still went on Pindapat, you know, they still went on alms round, you know, and collecting their food and whatever they got, you know, that's what they had. And actually, how is he called? Francisco from Assisi, yeah? I mean, the founder, he said, we shouldn't have any homes, yeah? But the moment he died, you know, they built churches and, yeah, and palaces, you know, and got lazy, you know, and then they built their own gardens, you know, I mean, so that they are not dependent on the people. But the Lord Buddha said, you have to be dependent on the people. You cannot lose the connection to the ordinary person. That's why it is mandatory, you know, for Bhikkhu, you know, to go on Pindapat. To see it, yeah? To see his dependence on it, yeah? Otherwise, you know, we feel free, you know, and we get elusive, you know, think we are the cream of the top, but actually we are not. Yeah. We are just human beings, yeah, just like everybody else, who go a different way of life, yeah, or choose a different walk of life, yeah, not in the sense that you think, yeah, but we choose a different walk of life, you know, by finding the way out of, just like the Lord Buddha, of dukkha, yeah? Of this agony, of this pain, of this suffering, of this restlessness, of this, yeah, boredom, yeah? And this is, we want to find out, you know, I mean, what, first of all, what the hell am I doing here, yeah? What is the purpose of my life, yeah? And then, you know, and then following the Fourth Noble Truth. The Fourth Noble Truth of Sila Samadhi Panya. And Sila is not only important for people who want to get out, yeah? Sila is very important for people who want to come back as human beings. Yeah? Because the Lord Buddha said, if you don't keep the five precepts, you know, you go down. And who wants to be born as a ghost, yeah? Nobody wants to be born as an animal, yeah? Nobody wants to go to hell, yeah? But most of the people are going to hell. No? It's not for me, yeah? I mean, it's a teaching of the Lord Buddha. He said 70% of the human race has no chance. They have only one way to go to hell. 30%, that is us, yeah? We have a chance. Because we listen to the Dhamma sometimes, you know, and then sometimes we don't listen to the Dhamma. Sometimes we keep the precept, sometimes we don't keep the precept. Yeah? So that's why we have a chance to find the way out. Yeah? That is, he called them the Nayas. Yeah? The other one, the 70% are the Pataparama, yeah? The hopeless ones. Yeah? So when you think about it, you know, don't even think. That's why also, you know, Buddhism is not a preaching religion. It doesn't preach other people what to do. It's a religion, you know, that invites people to come to listen. Because only, you know, if we come of our own will, yeah, then we are ready, then we are willing to listen, yeah. If some people, you know, like in the old times, you know, okay, no, Sunday morning, you know, you have to go to church. Nobody wanted to listen to what the minister said. Huh? But you are coming out of your own will. Yeah? So you're there is some interest, you know, in what is the Buddha's teaching. Yeah? And the Buddha's teaching, you know, I mean, it tells us everything about our life. Yeah? It tells us about karma. Yeah? Don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you. For whatever happens to you right now, yeah, is what you have done unto others. Yeah? I know. It's very difficult to accept. Yeah? Because we don't remember. Huh? We don't remember what we have done to others in our previous life. But yeah, we can see it very clearly from whatever happens to us. Because whatever happens to us right now, we must have done unto others, be it good or be it bad. Yeah? So there's some good, you know, that you receive, and there's some bad that you receive, and then you can see, you know, what you have done in previous lives. Yeah? Because like everybody, every farmer knows, you know, if he plants rice today, he will not be able to eat it tomorrow. Yeah? So if he do some pap or some pun, that means some merit and some demerit today. Yeah? I mean, we have to wait until it takes fruit. Ka tai main? Ha? Mai chai wan ni ka tam pun pong ni dai rap lao. This is something that we have to, you know, I mean, all our life, you know, especially in the West, you know, especially in the colder areas of our countries, yeah, I mean, we plan for the winter, don't we? I mean, at least we used to, Steve, yeah? We kept in September, we kept all the fruits and the berries and cooked it in, so that we had something to eat during the winter, yeah? Potatoes we kept, apples we kept, you know? People here in Thailand, they don't need, yeah? I mean, whatever is on the trees, you know, they take and can eat, yeah? That's the vasana, Kong Thai, yeah? This is the merit of the people who live, you know, in a rich country. I don't mean rich in terms of money, yeah? But they are rich in terms of environment. They don't have to worry about heating or something like that, yeah? Yeah, I mean, it's a big cost, you know? They don't have to worry about all these things, yeah? And they get even a bonus, yeah? The teachings of the Lord Buddha in its purity, yeah? Because that is the thing that you find in Thailand, yeah? The purity of the teaching, yeah? The Dhamma. Yeah? I mean, there's no other country like Thailand, yeah? And I tell it quite often, there's no other country like Thailand where so many arahants. Like Thailand, yeah? Just in the last 100 years, there were over 100 arahants, yeah? And arahants are liberated people, yeah? Only at the time of the Lord Buddha, you know, there were more arahants, yeah? And there's no other country, you know? Maybe other countries, other Buddhist countries from the Theravadan tradition, just like Laos or Cambodia or Sri Lanka, or what is it, Myanmar. Yeah? They might have one, yeah? But Thailand is a very famous one, yeah? For all its arahants, yeah? And that means, yeah? I mean, the Lord Buddha said, you know, wherever the Dhamma is taught correctly, there is a Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, and arahant, yeah? That means the Dhamma is taught correctly, yeah? And if there are hundreds of arahants, you know, I mean, that means it must be perfect, the Dhamma that is taught here. And that is only Thailand. Yeah? That's why, you know, people who are really interested in the Dhamma, want to know the true Dhamma, you know, come here. Yeah? So, now you can ask questions. Yesterday I was a little bit tired. Today I was a little bit tired, so now you can ask questions, you know, whatever interests you. Yeah. Steve?
Can you explain two questions, actually? Samuttai? Is Samuttai the same as a conditioned way of being when they talk about samuttai, like phenomenon?
Mm. Samuttai, yeah. What is the conventional? Is it the conventional reality? Please don't ask. I've never studied Pali, you know. But I think it is the conventional or conditioned, you know, the conditioned route. Yeah? But I'm not sure, but Samutaya. That is the realm that we live in, yeah? So, I mean, what, you know, it is conditioned, you know? I mean, you know the conditioning, if, then else, yeah? If I see my father, you know, I react like that. If I see my mother, I react like that. If I see my girlfriend, I react like that. If I see my boss, I react like that. And so on, and so on, and so on. That means we are conditioned, yeah? Everything is conditioned.
Ajahn Samudaya is the second noble truth, Dukkha Samudaya. Is it
this, yeah? I thought it was Samutaya. What?
The origin of dukkha.
Is that what you want to know?
I'm not sure. That's why I asked.
That's why I told you, you know, I'm not really familiar with Pali. Yeah. But if it is, you know, if it is the origin of dukkha, you know, I mean, the origin of dukkha is our desire. Yeah? We want. Yeah? I mean, there is no minute in your life where you don't want anything, except when you enter samadhi, then you don't want anything. Yeah? And the moment you want anything, yeah, I mean, most of the time it is because of some dukkha. Yeah? We want anything, we want to change things, yeah? We don't like, you know, how our apartment looks, yeah? So we want to change it, you know, so that creates a desire to change things. And if we can't make it up to our standards, up to our views, opinion, then we have dukkha. If we can make it up to our standards, our views, we have sukha for a moment, yeah? And then we want something else, yeah? That's not finished yet, yeah? I mean, we want something, you know, I mean, we work for it very hard, you know, I mean, we earn a lot of money, you know, to buy it, and we have it, and we are happy for 10 minutes, or maybe 2 or 3 days, you know, and then we want something else. We are never satisfied, yeah? And this is the desire, that is the desire that causes the dukkha, yeah? I mean, the desire to want things, or the desire not to want things, yeah? I mean, I don't want to meet this person every day, you know, he constantly crosses my path, yeah? That is also desire, yeah? Desire has two ways, you know, be it attachment towards a person, or being likes, you know, or being dislikes, yeah? We have to ask Windy about, you know, Pali. So the other thing is?
The Jalit. I hear people, monks talk about the Jalit.
Jalit? Chana.
Jalit, like your characteristic or your personality is what I kind of understand, but I don't understand.
Jalit.
Never heard that. But you're probably, what is it? Is it character or person?
Just like he understanding that the way just person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the person.
Tell him about Long Phu Noi.
No, just talk about you.
I mean, your personality. Now, if you talk about, you know, your personality, yeah. I mean, it changed over time, didn't it?
Oh yeah, it's changed a lot.
It changed a lot, yeah? So, it's anicca anatta dukkha, yeah? Anicca is impermanent. Whatever arises, ceases, you know? Or things changing, yeah? Like the weather is changing from hot to cold, from sunny to cloudy, from cloudy to rain, yeah? And then it comes back, yeah? Everything is changing.
And that's due to karma too, right?
When you are born, there is, yes. Then you get, you know, as I said, you know, when you want to go into the next life, you should start backpacking, yeah? You start packing your bags now. And that is what you get, yeah? I mean, when you come into a life, you have a backpack full of karma, yeah? And that normally directs the people, yeah? But there are lots of ways, you know, when you're in the middle of the city, I mean, there are these big streets, that is your big karma that normally, you know, interests you because there are a lot of shiny signs, yeah? But there are these side streets. And if you go into one of these side streets, other things are happening. Yeah. If you continue on the big street, I mean, whatever. That's why people who read the horoscope, who are good in reading the horoscope, can say what is going to happen at what age. Yeah. Because it's pretty much determined as long as you go the big road. Yeah. But if you, yeah, if you happen to turn into, yeah, a side road and suddenly go another way, they can't tell anything anymore. Yeah? Because that is not within your horoscope. Yeah? The horoscope is only for ordinary people. A very famous person, I don't know how you call them, who reads a horoscope in Germany said one time, yeah, as long as the people do, you know, what they intended to do, you know, I can tell them everything, you know, what is going to happen about, yeah? But if they're going in a spiritual way, I don't know. They just disappear out of my radar, yeah? And that is the interesting thing. We always have a choice. At every moment of our life, we have a choice, yeah? But because we are lazy, you know, we go the big road because, I mean, we feel secure, you know? Yeah, lots of people are running around the same way, yeah? So we look at, you know, our friends, we look at our, you know, our colleagues, we look at our mother and father, oh, they're all going the same road, okay, let's go this road, you know? And then it is very predictable what is going to happen. But if you decide suddenly, you know, I mean, where are they going, you know? I mean, climb a tower, you know, and then you see, you know, I mean, this road actually leads to hell. Oh, no, I don't climb down, you know, I don't want to go this path, yeah? Just like Jesus said, you know, most people are going the broad path that leads to destruction, only a few people going the stony path, yeah, that leads to heaven, yeah. So, I mean, nothing is written in stone, yeah. Everything can change, and you see it, and yeah, I mean, the longer we live, the more we see that, you know, things are changing, our personality can change completely, yeah. I mean, what did you think was 10 years, you know? I mean, was it the same? What did you want to do in your life when you were 10 years? Huh? Well, maybe a pilot, you know? I mean, flying airplanes, you know? And then suddenly, you know, with 20, you decided to become something else. And now with 30, you think about maybe this wasn't the right choice. Maybe I should do something else, yeah? I mean, things are changing, yeah? Depending on our experience and within the world, yeah? But most of us, you know, I mean, just to direct our attention, you know, towards what other people, you know, are doing around us, yeah? And then and then they go along with it, yeah? why do you laugh? I was talking. Why is she smiling? I wonder, yeah? So we go, you know, we go just like everybody else, yeah? That's why in the beginning I said about the Lord Buddha, you know, I mean, it is, he saw the Samana, and then suddenly, you know, a question arose, you know, I mean, what are they looking for? You know, they are completely living very different from everybody else, yeah? So if you don't have that constant reminder, and the Thais do have this constant reminder, but still don't want to go that path, yeah? But at least they know, yeah? At least, you know, I mean, they make some provisions, you know, for in the future that they can go this path, yeah? And this is the karma that comes back in the next life, yeah? I mean, how long does it take, how many lifetimes does it take, you know, to become a bhikkhu, yeah? To become a monk or become a meiji, yeah? It takes many lifetimes. We have to provide so many things because for a monk everything is provided, yeah? So you have to work very hard, you know, to be able to live a life as a monk, yeah? And when you live the life as a monk, yeah, then you have two choices, yeah? Either rejoice, you know, in the fortune, you know, and eat and sleep, yeah? Or do the work that the Lord Buddha suggested, you know, and go the path, you know, to the end of dukkha. Okay? So it is up to us, yeah? But because we are the Naya, you know, I mean, it happens, you know, I mean, the monks ordained, you know, they're really full, you know, full of energy, I want to go this path. And after 4 years, oh, it's so difficult, let's go back into the lay life, yeah? That's why we swing forth and back, yeah? I mean, one time you say, ah, yes, I really keep the five precepts. And then our desire comes up and says, ah, this would be nice, would be nice, would be nice, you know? And then say, okay, one time, yeah? And then they keep breaking the precepts until they remind themselves, oh, I should keep the precepts, you know? Then they keep the precepts, and then they break them, then they keep them, then they break them, then they keep them. And it's the same with people, you know, who start meditating. Then they start meditating, oh, it's so difficult, you know, then they stop, and then they start again, and stop, and then start again, and stop. Yeah? That's what we call neya, yeah? Okay, so, you have any questions? What is your name?
Caleb.
Huh? Caleb. Caleb. That's an unusual name, huh?
It's an English version of a Hebrew name, Caleb.
Ah. You have Jewish background, huh?
Yeah, Christian.
Christian. Caleb. So your parents were very Christian, huh? Very, yeah, just like mine. Every Sunday to church. Then getting confirmation. After confirmation, we didn't have to go to church anymore. That was then our decision. I mean, that is funny. And then we didn't go. Of course we didn't go. So a very, very Christian background, yeah. So, any questions? Yeah, then we stop. Yeah, just for today. Yeah. We'll do some work at home. Yeah.
Yes.
Pavana putu. Yeah. Walking chankram. Yeah, you don't know how. You know? Did they tell you how to walk chankram? Yeah. So you put the start and you put an end point. Yeah. At the start point, you said this one path I will be with the Buddha or with the breath. Yeah. And then at the end point, you know, when you turn around, ask. Have I been with the Buddha, with the breath? No. And the answer is, of course, always no. Because even for one path, you cannot stay with the Buddha or with the breath. Yeah? And then you say, okay, this one path, I really want to be with the Buddha. Yeah? Huh? And then at the end of the path, you realize, I mean, your mind drifted off again. That's why walking meditation in the beginning of our practice is really helpful. Yeah? It always, you always, whenever you turn around, you have a reminder, okay, now, this one part. Because when you sit for an hour, you know, I mean, the first half minute, you know, you stay with the Buddha and then you drift away and 20 minutes later you realize, oh, where's my Buddha? Oh, where's my breath? Yeah? Nah? That's why walking meditation is really helpful, yeah? If we cannot concentrate. Of course, if we can concentrate, then it's no question. Okay, sir. Yeah, you have a question?
I have a question. If we have time.
What?
Do we have time?
Yeah, I mean.
All
yeah.
Time was a work.
Yeah, I mean, people always ask questions when I want to get up.
I was thinking somebody else needs to ask the questions. It's a question about the interest and the concentration.
Yeah.
Recently I was reflecting on what is an interest.
Mm-hmm.
And where it's coming from. And why some things attracts us so much.
Mm-hmm.
So for us it's easy to concentrate and we do it with the interest and some things
distract us.
Yeah, or we can just not be interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then even I want to ask this question, I'm a bit, I feel like my conscience is not on its best stage, so I'll try to describe as I can. And when I asked the question, what is an interest, then it brought me to the thing that people usually look for motivation. They probably
miscall it as a motivation or the willpower or something else, but it's very nice concept. It's very nice word for such a power within us that here you called as an interest. And as I got it, when I contemplate deeper, like this interest is not a source of power. I mean, it's not something very large. It's like this rope in the candle that supports our life, and we should take care of this. It's like a momentum that gives a raise to all our movement and everything. And that's also the thing that drives us the right way, even though we sometimes, in the same time, we can be attracted, but then they separate the attraction and the interest. Sometimes we are attracted by the things that leads us to dukkha, but the interest that kind of...
Yes, Veronica. There's one thing that you should try not to do, is try to go into thinking what is what. Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, interest is concentration. Of course, it is motivation. It is a power. Yeah. It is like you have a magnifying glass, you know, and try to concentrate, you know, all the rays. Yeah. All the rays. I mean, you have thousands of rays, you know, and you try to concentrate it on one object. Yeah. If you're not interested in this object, I mean, you will not concentrate on this object, but you will concentrate on another object. I mean, and if you look at your life, if you had some sort of hobby, you know, where you can get lost, yeah, that means you were interested in this kind of hobby. And what you do now in meditation, if you know that, yeah, no, I mean, just go back in your life and see, you know, what really did interest you. Yeah? So, and then take this interest in this object and put it onto another object. And that is the breath of the Buddha. That is not so easy, you know, I say easily, you know, but that is how I tried, you know, because I was interested in quite a few things, yeah. And I had to shift my interest towards the Buddha that seems to be so boring, or towards the breath that seems to be boring, yeah. That's why we lose our interest, yeah. No, you have to make the thing that you observe very interesting, yeah. Right? So that's why I tell you, you know, to ask this question: is the Buddha at the beginning? Is it in the middle? Is it at the end? Or is the breath, you know, starting? Or is the breath towards the end? Or is the breath in the middle? Is the breath long? That arouses our interest, yeah? Because if we ask the question, the moment you ask the question, what is our life about, that arouses interest, yeah? But what you do with the young generation, they Google it up, yeah? Take out the smartphones and Google what is the importance or what is importance in our life, and there are lots of articles, then they read for 10 hours and they are more confused than before. Normally. You understand it, you know. Whatever we place our concentration on, yeah, that is where also our interest. That's why I say 100% interest is 100% concentration. Yeah? But there's always these, you know, asavas, these outflows that, you know, take, there's this sense impression, there's that sense impression, there's this thought, there's this memory that always, you know, tries to pull our attention away. And if we follow it, of course, you know, it doesn't, you know, I mean, then we are out, you know, we are out in another substrate, and then it pulls away. And if we look very, if we follow this scheme, I mean, meditation is all about, you know, how does this machine, you know, that we call I, mine, me, mine, work, yeah? When we really look at thoughts, yeah? I mean, when you have a little bit of sati, I mean, a little bit, much of sati, then you can see it happening, yeah? You can see, okay, I want to stay with this thought. You know, there's a thought that seems to be interesting. Okay, I want to stay with this thought. This thought has this object. Okay, stay with this object. And then you see one thought, two thought, three thought, yeah, circling around this object. And then it wants to divide. Yeah. Then it wants to jump onto another object. Say, no, stay there. No, it doesn't want to stay. Yeah. Because it wants to go to another object. Yeah. That is the nature of the mind, yeah? It cannot stay with one object, yeah? Three thoughts, that's enough, you know, and then jump to something that is similar, you know, and then similar and similar, yeah? And then you let it go, and then you see how it works, yeah? And then it goes to this object and stays three thoughts around it, you know, in memories, yeah? And then goes to the next. It cannot stay with one object. And that's what we have to train.
I think that what our mind making of the interest.
No, the citta makes it interested, yeah? I mean, our motivation, yeah? Well, whatever you call it, don't try. I mean, words are confusing, yeah? I want to, you know, really, the practice, you know, meditation practice is all about experience, yeah? We want to get away from the symbols that we created. The whole world is symbols, you know, when we talk to each other, we throw symbols at each other, you know? And if this other person, you know, doesn't understand our meaning behind the symbols, you know, then we have an argument, yeah? If he understands it, we don't have an argument, yeah? So we try to get away from these symbols, from these labels, yeah? I mean, you can call it labels, yeah? How we label things. Just experience, yeah? See how it feels like. See how it feels like. See how it's the breath. See how, what is moving you, yeah? You see, there's something coming out, you know? Okay, yeah? And then look at it. Observe it, you know? How does it change over time, yeah? Or where does it go, yeah? Don't put labels on it because that is just confusing. Yeah?
So then the interest should be like a non-stop engine?
Yeah!
But we don't have any of this example.
But we can train it. Huh? I mean, if you run marathon, yeah? If you run, if you start running or swimming or whatever sport you do, you know, I mean, until you get into the... Until you get the hang of it, yeah? I mean, it will be always difficult. You always want to stop, always, you know, I want to make it easy, yeah? But once you get going, you start to get going, yeah? Just like learning, you know, just like you learn to walk, yeah? I mean, in the beginning, it was very difficult. Yeah, oh, yeah? But you didn't tell your mama, Mama, I can't walk, you know, yeah? Carry me around the world, yeah? No! Your mama wouldn't do that, you know, so you had to learn it, yeah? That's how she forced you to learn how to walk, yeah? The same way how she forced you or how your parents forced you to learn to talk. Hmm? If you wanted something, express it, yeah? Yeah? How did we learn? I mean, if nobody, you know, if our mother and father, you know, always, you know, read our intentions, you know, and give us, we would never learn to talk, huh? We didn't have the inclination. We wanted something. That is, you know, that is the real motivation behind everything, yeah? We want something, then we look out, you know, what we want, you know, the object, and then we put our concentration, our interest in this object, yeah? So we want to have samadhi, now we do, you know, whatever it takes, you know, to get to samadhi, you know, that's what we do, yeah? We want to learn to walk, you know, that's why I find this so easy, yeah? But we are disheartened so easily, you know, especially when we get older. Yeah? We don't have this. I mean, when you look at a 1-year-old child, it constantly tries, you know. I mean, it hangs itself up, pushes against the wall so that it can crawl up, yeah? 24 hours until it, you know, falls asleep, and the next day it starts with it again. And that is how we should do our practice. Okay?